down threatens.
Is the singularity near?
The military-industrial complex.
The truth is out there.
The seven mountains of the influencers of culture.
Be as gods, you know, catapults of propaganda.
From a mostly secure, undisclosed split-level location on a cul-de-sac somewhere in the heartland of America, this is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
The Apostle Paul told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of spiritual darkness. And there are some things in the news of late that point to the existence of intelligent evil. Welcome to A View from the Bunker. I'm Derek Gilbert. Thank you for listening at VFTB.net or watching at YouTube.com/Derek Gilbert. We're going to talk about some darkness in the world today. It is kind of blown up in social media here in recent weeks, a particular incident around elites in Washington, D.C. But as we have focused on this, it seems to me from some contacts with friends of mine that maybe we've forgotten a few things that have happened over the last 10 or 15 years that are even darker, if possible. Today we talk with a researcher who is putting a lot of this information out through his YouTube channel. He is the host of the Face Like the Sun YouTube channel, also the podcast Canary Cry Radio, Canary Cry News Talk with his co-host Basil, and director of the multiple Telly Award-winning documentary film Inhuman, The Next and Final Phase of Man is Here, our friend Gans Shimura. Gans, thanks for taking time out of your schedule for what is going to be a dark topic.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we have to come together to discuss this kind of thing, but it is important to talk about, but I appreciate you inviting me on.
Yeah. Now, the topic, of course, is one that's gotten a lot of attention in social media lately, and I've received some emails asking why we haven't covered it yet on Skywatch TV, and that is, of course, the allegations of child abuse and pedophilia around a restaurant in Washington, D.C. called Comet Ping Pong or Comet Pizza. It's attracted the hashtag Pizzagate on the web, and there have been a lot of allegations that have been made. I can see that your dog's not very happy about all this either.
Yeah, well, it's okay.
No worries. Sam would be growling here, and you know, we've through 11 years of podcasting, people heard an awful lot of Sam and then his predecessors, Bell, Gretel, and Murphy. So no worries.
Well, we used to have two dogs, and we just lost one. So he's, you know, I'm trying to keep him around a little bit closer.
He's lost his pack, and that's a hard thing.
Yeah, that's tough.
Kids to do for kids. We treat him like kids, and kids are really the topic of what we're discussing here. I mean, you're a stepfather and soon to be a father. I'm the father of a young lady who's you know, in her mid-20s now. But while she was young, there was a case almost walking distance from us of a six-year-old girl who was abducted going from one house, from her house to a friend's house just a few doors away, and was found finally stuffed into a culvert. But pedophilia is a crime and a sin that, from the enemy's perspective, continues to bear fruit long after the actual act, because these damaged children grow up to be damaged adults who then go on to damage other children. There was a story from Norway this past week of 51 men who were arrested in a sting there, and some very dark things. One man caught chatting with other friends on the dark web, which viewers, listeners, if you're not familiar, that's the part of the internet that you can only get to if you really, really want to get someplace where authorities can't track you. Telling his friends through this network how he was waiting for his child to be born by his girlfriend so that he could begin to sexually abuse the baby. Now, I've been watching the Pizzagate scandal, and I haven't really replied to anybody who's asked me yet whether we're going to address this on Skywatch TV. And at this point, I would say, no, we are not. And here's why. While there are a number of very curious and disturbing bits of circumstantial evidence here, I haven't seen anything yet that ties any victims to what's happening around, or what may be happening around Comet Pizza. There's certainly some signs that things are not quite right. But until there are victims or specific pieces of evidence that can tie certain people to certain acts, I tend to be very cautious about leveling accusations or allegations of criminal activity. And there are some things that we'll talk about over the course of the next 45 minutes or so that will maybe remind folks of some things they may have forgotten, where there are victims and there is evidence And not only that, but evidence that investigations were quashed by people in authority. So you've done more digging into this than I have. What are some of the biggest signs that there may be fire behind all the smoke regarding Comet Pizza and Pizza?
Yeah. You know, to start off, you're right that a lot of what people are gathering through social media and, you know, looking at their Instagram accounts, there's enough suspicion there. Anyone who's got a reasonable approach to morality might see some of those things and say, it's, you know, but it can be brushed aside as taste and art or whatever. There's nothing that would incriminate them.
Right.
And that's a bigger discussion in terms of, it seems to be not a cover up per se, but there seems to be something going on where anytime someone blows a whistle on pedophilia and this kind of act, the authorities seem to be in on it at some point, and it just goes away. It's right. It's very bizarre, and we'll get into some of that in the history of some of these things that have been out there. But I think it's hard to tie it into a specific person because, again, there's nobody. Mostly the victims, if this is true, are children, and if some of the more wild allegations are true, they are being killed. So it would be difficult for anyone to come out and say, you know what, I was at Comet Ping Pong a few years ago and I was molested or whatever, that kind of thing. If some of the allegations of the darkest of the darkest reports are true.
Now, when you say killed, you mean the allegations are being squashed and not the kids are being killed?
Well, no, the kids are being killed.
Oh, okay.
The kids being killed. That some of the reports suggest.
Suggest.
Again, these are sources that we can't verify for sure, but some hacked documents, things like that.
So, in other words, no bodies yet that anybody can point to and say, okay, all right.
Right.
But, I want to be very clear to people who are listening here or watching that I'm not saying that nothing is going on here. I'm just saying that the level of evidence yet, in my view, hasn't risen to a point where we can start accusing specific people of specific things, which I have been seeing. We know that such and such has been doing so and so. Well, no, we don't.
Right.
But let's review the evidence, because in terms of the artwork of the Podestas, John and his brother Tony particularly, who is the collector, some of the pieces of artwork are really disturbing. But that doesn't mean he's guilty of a crime. It does speak to his mentality,
philosophy,
perhaps his morality. Personally,
worldview.
A piece of art that seems to be based on a crime scene photo of one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims hanging in the foyer of your home would seem that's, I think,
raise suspicion.
twisted is not too strong a word.
Right.
And having photographs of nude teenagers hanging in one's bedroom. Okay. Also speaks to a certain frame of mind and a certain morality, but it's not evidence of a crime.
Right. I will say that this is reported by Sean at SG2 Report, who's been really tracking this. And I think one of the more interesting pieces of evidence tied to the Podestas is the missing case of Madeleine McCann.
Right.
Because, allegedly, again, I haven't been able to verify all these things. I'm reporting the reports, so, you know, just the messenger here. But there are reports that suggest that John and Tony Podesta were in Portugal during the time that Madeleine McCann went missing. And furthermore, that the location where she went missing was very close to a place that was owned by Sir Clement Raphael Freud, the son of Sigmund Freud. And once he passed away, allegations of, you know, sexually abusing children came way rushing out, you know, after I think he died in 2010 or I don't have it in front of me. But basically, Freud's holiday villa is just a few blocks from where the McCanns stayed at their holiday apartment. Now, the other disturbing part about this story is that after Madeleine McCann went missing, Freud reached out to the parents, allegedly, and invited the parents over to the villa. And, the mother is even reported as saying, you know, thank God for people like Freud, Clement Freud, to keep us laughing. And again, this is someone who's the allegations for pedophilia and child pornography, you know, sexual deviance in that matter is all over the place.
Right.
So there in the Podestas and also the sketches, the digital sketches of the people who allegedly took Madeleine McCann, are eerily similar to the Podesta profiles. So, again, I think this would be enough for law enforcement or intelligence agencies, and I believe some of these are reported as being intelligence agency reports. It's enough for them to start looking into it. Now, again, where they run into a brick wall or red tape where, you know, they can't go past a certain level of you know, actually arresting someone or actually, you know, going after James Alefantis of Comet Ping Pong, that's a separate issue. I think the Pizzagate thing, the hashtag that's become so widespread, is really just barely the tip of the iceberg. And yeah, maybe there's something there at the actual place, the pizza place. The circumstantial evidence, again, is mounting, you know, every day with surrounding businesses mm-hmm. that he owns and everything else. But he is out in the open publicly speaking. And if there really was an investigation going on, he wouldn't be able to do that. So
right.
There's something there where he knows he has some kind of immunity, whether he's guilty or not. And so he's out there publicly saying, hey, this is all nonsense. He's on NPR. He's on New York Times. He's all in all these places saying, hey, this is just a disaster. Trying to protect my employees. So it's become very hostile in the internet world, and also it doesn't help that mainstream media is labeling all this fake news, which turns off some of the researchers because they don't want to feed into that fake news narrative. And I've seen some of that as well in the community of truthers, if you want to call it that, who choose not to investigate this issue for the sole purpose of not trying to feed the fake news narrative cycle. But, I mean, overall, again, anyone who looks into any of this, I would say, would see the discrepancy between what's being reported in mainstream media and what's being alleged or reported in this collective research effort on this online community mm-hmm. and see a discrepancy there. And, you know, people have to come to their own conclusions. But ultimately, what we're looking for is some kind of justice or some kind of, I don't know, people arrested, people punished. You know, we know as Christians the ultimate fulfillment of that judgment comes with the return of Jesus Christ.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Right.
So we know that that's in the future of the perpetrators here. So in a sense, the eternal perspective of this is God's got this. He's taking care of this. You know, there's a good argument that can be made that children who pass away before the age of, age of responsibility or age, mm-hmm. one of those terms, go to heaven. There's a good biblical argument for that. And so, you know, in a sense of a spiritual look at this, in the eternal sense of salvation, it feels like God knew this kind of thing would happen, and he is put in protocols to protect the innocent in that sense, yeah. Of their souls. However, this side of his return, we're faced with this monumental thing that I believe you, what was it called?
This is a term that was coined by researcher and author Dave McGowan, who passed away last year. He wrote a book back in 2000, I think it was 2001, might be 2001, 2002, called Programmed to Kill, about some of the inconsistencies with the stories about some of the worst killers in American history and how they all seem to go through certain parts of the federal justice system before becoming infamous for their crimes. But the first few chapters of his book were called The Pedophocracy. And in fact, I'll put a link to that in the show notes because there is a website out there, whale.to, that has posted The Pedophocracy. And it's a 6-part series that Dave McGowan wrote, which goes into some of these cases that we'll touch on here in just a little bit. But I think the pedophocracy is a great term because it conveys the sense of, first of all, there are basically it's a term that he applied to well-connected individuals who seem to protect one another in their ritual abuse of children.
Yeah.
Well, let's evidence for Pizzagate. Now, again, this is something Sharon and I talked about because, again, we've been aware of organized pedophile rings for quite some time. We talked a lot about the Franklin Credit Union scandal, which we'll touch on here in a bit, in Omaha, Nebraska. She lived in that area about the time that this was going on. We talked about the Finders and the CIA. We talked about the McMartin preschool, which was part of the whole satanic panic, so-called. We talked about there are a number of these cases that go back just within the last 15 years that are jaw-dropping when you realize that very few people were ever prosecuted in these cases where there was a lot more evidence. And again, I want to stress this, actual victims of abuse, which we've not yet seen with the Pizzagate scandal. The evidence in this Pizzagate, Comet Pizza thing, it seemed to me, is predicated on a certain interpretation of graphics, symbols, logos that are attached to Comet Ping Pong, and other businesses that are connected to James Alefantis. which again might be, which might indicate participation in these organized pedophile rings, but might just be an unfortunate coincidence.
Sure.
I saw that, you know, in one particular one logo connected with his business after the hashtag Pizzagate began trending in social media, changed the logo. And of course, that was taken as evidence by some that, well, see, this proves he's guilty. Well, not necessarily. I mean, another plausible explanation is that if you or I, Gons, were doing something on the web and we had a logo that we thought looked cool and attached it to our website, and people said, hey, don't you know that's the international symbol for, you know, strangling puppies? Like, oh, okay, well, what would you, we change it.
Right.
So it's possible that this is just, you know, and there are there are people who've accused us at Skywatch TV of being Masonic because we use red and blue in the set.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. That kind of stuff always is. So, it's easy to spin stuff into whatever.
Right.
And you know, I'll let you finish your point
but
there.
But my point is, I'm not trying to say that nothing is going on here. I'm just saying that until we can come up with an explanation that seems probable and that there's not another plausible explanation here, we maybe need to keep the door open that maybe this is just smoke without a fire. But let's consider, what is the evidence? What is the smoke here? What are these symbols and logos, and why are people making such a big deal out of Pizzagate?
Right. Well, I mean, I think the outrage itself of the allegations gets people riled up. Obviously, when there's innocent children involved, you know, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to,
right,
you know, have any kind of spiritual game in the fight. And you want to fight for justice. You want to fight for the protection of the children.
There's a reason that guys who are convicted of those crimes don't do well in prison.
Yeah.
Even the other convicts.
Right, right, right. There's a line that's drawn.
Yes, yeah, right.
And to that point, I mean, again, the evidence, so many circumstantial pieces of evidence surrounding James Alefantis' social media, and that's been kind of the big focus of all this, is not just him, but the people that were going to Comet Ping Pong, the kind of bands that were playing there, the video clip of one of the performers talking about some of the things they do, and then somebody yelling out, oh, and even children, and oh, we have our preferences, and very creepy stuff. So, you know, it's hard to say that they're at least not into it. Okay. Maybe there's no victims, but they're into that kind of thing. They're into that culture.
Yeah.
One of the reports has been that the Instagram, handle that James Alefantis had as Comet, I believe it was like Jimmy Comet or Jimmy something. It was a picture of a statue of a Greek figure, and you know, the research was done. It was Antinous, who was a favorite lover of the Roman Emperor Hadrian, This was, you know, accepted pederasty, was something accepted among the Greeks, and so when you think of it that way, what they're representing, I think, is something that is much bigger. Yeah. And I keep bringing it back to this point because
in the Roman culture, in fact, there's a reason that when Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes about homosexuality in, and I forget which book of the Bible it is, maybe Colossians, but I don't recall specifically, but he uses two specific terms, one that indicates the dominant partner, one that indicates a submissive partner. And that's because in that culture, the Roman world of the first century AD, homosexuality was not stigmatized unless you were the passive partner.
Right. Right. So that sort of, you know, philosophy, worldview seems to be swirling around this guy. And then I think the stuff that really caused people to go after James Alefantis were the actual pictures of children that he had on his social media. Very bizarre. A child with her hands or her wrists taped to the table.
Mm-hmm.
One of a young baby, I mean, maybe a year, with, you know, little bundles of cash in her mouth. Just very strange stuff. And when he was actually confronted about this stuff, you know, he played it off as, well, you know, it's nothing, where it was just a, you know, family, and I'm this person's godfather, and you know. And so again, he must know that there's a level of immunity there, even though some of his pictures are very strange. I mean, I don't know if I'd be like, hey, look at me, I'm tying my, you know, whatever, nephew or whoever.
Yeah.
risks to the table, and here we are, we're having fun. And it's just a very bizarre, giving all the other circumstantial evidence surrounding it, the symbolism, the logos, the everything else, that's not helping your case, you know, if you're seeing pictures like that on your Instagram and stuff. So
the sad thing is that there are certain aspects of our culture and society that are just so far removed from the experience of most of the people who would take the time to watch or listen to this program, that there's no, if you draw a Venn diagram of stuff we think is okay, there would be no overlap between those two groups whatsoever. And now, again, please understand, viewer, listener, I am not saying that this is okay, what Elefantis and this group is doing. I'm not saying that there are no victims. I'm just saying we don't know of any yet. That is the only point I'm trying to make here, and that as such, we need to be a little more circumspect in making allegations. Until we can tie specific people to specific victims and specific deeds, and as yet, that isn't there. What we do have is a certain lot of circumstantial evidence that indicates something that we already knew, which is that there is a culture in Washington, D.C. that is absolutely anti-Christ. It is toxic. Mm-hmm. It is despicable. It is horrible. The connection between Tony Podesta and Marina Abramović, the Serbian witch, performance artist.
You know what I found out about her the other night when I was speaking to some other researchers, is that you've seen some photographs of her, you know, holding the skull and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Put that on Skywatch TV. Yeah,
it's been reported that she's approaching the age of 70.
Right, she is.
So, you know, maybe there's something to the rituals that's keeping her young, which is it sounds ridiculous.
Well, that may be an old picture too. We don't know.
That's true. That's
but,
true.
Photoshop. But the whole Elizabeth Bathory thing came to mind.
Right. But there's a theme here, even in entertainment media. If you start kind of looking at the bigger picture here, where sucking life force to remain alive. That kind of thinking has been around for a long time.
Yes, it has.
And if you read occult readings, I don't recommend that. I'm saying people that have researched it, I've researched some of it. And it's very clear that they do believe that there is energy that can be drawn from this sort of activity, that can help them stay young or whatever, demon power or what, all kinds of stuff. It goes back to Crowley, the sex magic, which is very fascinating because now we really do see a culture that's split. And we noticed this sort of Satanism enter into the wider, consciousness of people, so to speak, where, in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, the bands that came out, Led Zeppelin, they're representing Crowleyism and all this stuff. And that culture seems to have been created in a sense almost to be a veneer behind all that real dark stuff. It's all just art. It's just music. It's, expression, all this stuff. And I think it's worked. I mean, people are getting away with probably some very horrific things, and putting it on display and, nothing ever gets done because there's no proof. There's no evidence other than this is art. This is expression. This is something that we have the right to do. And certainly they do have the right to express whatever they're feeling. But the other piece of evidence that I found interesting, this is done by a researcher named Mike, I believe, who again was reported on SCT Report. I made a Facebook post about it. And according to his research, 392 kids have gone missing in Virginia, which population 8 million in 2015-16 is, I think, the window of time here. Compare that to 592 kids, 200 more kids in a state, California, which I'm in, 39 million, so almost four times as many as the population. So there's a lot of kids going missing in Virginia, number two on the list of missing kids. And the interesting piece of evidence that he found, and this is just his research, looking at all the official websites that have lists of children missing and missing reports, he found that 44 kids have gone missing in October, 74 reported missing in November, and that's a stark contrast to the single digits throughout the year. So, and given what we know about rituals, timing of the year, things like that, it's not surprising that right around Halloween, Hallows Eve, all that, that there will be some kind of spike. Now, again, I can't confirm that. This is something that another researcher did. But maybe something like that, this kind of information, if it gets out there, maybe someone is a victim who has a child missing, maybe they can start looking into some situations that can help uncover some things, specifically with the Comet ping pong situation, because this is, we're talking about Virginia, mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. And just a little bit of digging that I did, and I hadn't done a whole lot because it's very difficult to do this research, just trying to plot the points of some of the people, the children who have been reported missing, very close in vicinity to the whole area of Comet ping pong. I found a couple that were within, 30, 40 miles. Again, nothing hard evidence there, but right. There does seem to be a correlation there. This doesn't mean that anybody's come out and said anything. I mean, that would be great, but in terms of justice. But, this is the kind of evidence that's coming out, that's being collected by the public doing this kind of research, not on Reddit anymore because they've shut the whole thing right. down, which is a whole other argument of suspicion, right? Why are these right. Forums shutting it down, Twitter censoring some of it. So it's a very interesting time we're living in.
The fact that the people who run the website might be held accountable for some of the things being put out Absolutely. There and some of what's been put out there could constitute libel. But the fact that they shut it down, then to some constitutes proof that something is really going on. Let's dig into some of this. And for if you're listening or viewing and hoping that we'll give a recap of the Comet ping pong case or investigation in Pizzagate, I'm just going to defer and refer you to others who've done a lot more work on this. My point in bringing this up was to just make two. My purpose in doing this program is to try to make two points. First of all, that we haven't, in my opinion, reached a level of evidence yet to make accusations as specifically as some of the accusations I have seen, because I think they go beyond what can be connected with the dots that we have. But having said that, there are cases within the recent past that do meet that threshold. Well, I guess in a third point is there are ministries out there that are working to try to save kids out of this type of life. And I'm going to vent for just a moment here, Gons. I hope you'll forgive me for this. One of the most important programs that we did on Skywatch TV over the past year was an interview with a woman named Opal Singleton. She is the CEO of a ministry called MillionKids.org. She's also on the board of directors for another ministry based out of Joplin, Missouri, called Rafa House. Rafa House tries to get kids out of child prostitution. MillionKids.org works specifically to try to get kids out of sex trafficking. She trains law enforcement agencies around the country. She speaks at churches, conferences, and so forth. We did half a dozen programs with her. One that we aired on our network programs for Skywatch TV. We did a couple as web exclusives. Sharon did an interview with her for Skywatch Women. We posted a couple as daily news updates. I compiled some of those into View from the Bunker programs and posted those. Those were among the lowest viewed programs we had all year on Skywatch TV. She is working with actual victims, kids who are missing, kids who've been recovered but are now damaged for life, because they've been pulled into this. And my point to you watching this now is that this is reaching into your home. This is reaching into your home because predators, not necessarily connected to the Democratic National Committee, but predators are reaching into your home through social media apps that you don't know are on your kid's phone or your grandkid's phone. I'm pretty well, I'm pretty savvy when it comes to the internet. I mean, Sharon and I met over the internet back in 1997 when only 20% of America was online. So I've got a pretty good grasp of what's going on online. But when Opal was telling us about the apps that kids are using to connect and that predators are using to reach into the bedrooms of our children because they all go to bed with a phone and we parents don't have enough courage to take them away at night, we're letting kids talk with people in their bedrooms at night that we would never let into our homes. And Opal Singleton is out there working to rescue kids from this, to coordinate efforts with police to investigate predators. And when we put those programs out there, they didn't get a quarter of the views of the shows about giants or UFOs or demon fairies. Not that I'm belittling those topics, because I think those are other aspects of the workings of the enemy. But here we've got somebody who is working on hard evidence with actual kids who are missing, who've run away, who are living on the streets, who are being bought and sold like commodities. And frankly, it didn't seem like anybody cared.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. When I first heard some of these topics on, I believe it was PID Radio several years ago, I remember thinking, well, this is really out there. Like, this topic doesn't feel like it fits with all the stuff that you guys are talking about. It wasn't until much later that I realized, oh, no, this is almost the dark underbelly that no one wants to talk about.
This is the heart of it.
The real dark stuff. And when I started to realize that how closely tied this is to the whole idea of a globalist regime and all the stuff we talk about, there's a reason why they're able to kind of control people. And it's not just money. I think there's a lot more nasty, dark stuff going on that allows them to use people, really,
right,
to the point where, you know, it's a spiritual thing in that, you know, people find themselves in situations, they're born into situations that, you know, maybe their parents are involved with some people that maybe they shouldn't be. Maybe there's bribes done. I don't know. I don't know how these things exactly work, but from what we've known with certain stories and things that have been reported, this can happen to anybody. This really could happen to anybody. And that's kind of the point here with the Comet Ping Pong and James Alefantis coming out and saying, hey, we're a well-respected neighborhood pizza place. And I'm sure that the people that work there, the food there and the community really respects and does respect that place of business. You know, I don't doubt that. So that's, and the other part of it, to your point earlier, people, I think, jumped on the allegations that were out there and made threats on social media.
Right.
That's when, I think that's when the discrediting of the community of trying to do research was done there. I don't think it was necessarily what we're talking about. I think it's people coming out, social media saying, we're going to come over there and kill you and all that kind of stuff is completely uncalled for. And it really does discredit the whole thing.
Yeah. And at that point you get into the same, you lower yourself to be in the same category as the LGBT activists that wanted to torch the pizza joint in this small town in Indiana that said, well, we'd prefer not to cater a gay wedding.
Right.
Not that they'd ever been asked to, but they, you know, so, but these things do happen. And that is my point, is that there are investigations out there. And we're going to touch on a few of these just to familiarize viewers and listeners in case you're not aware. There are some higher profile ones, but I want to start with one that Sharon stumbled onto a couple of years ago. And this is on the Channel Islands off the coast of France, Jersey Island in particular, which is a small little island with population of less than 100,000. I should be better prepared for this, but there were investigations that began in 2007, 2008, but the charges were that hundreds of children going back decades had been abused by groups of pedophiles. Finally, police narrowed it down to 18 key suspects in the investigation. But some of the charges were, kids being tied up for days, being sexually abused, just a number of other charges that were made, but not much that came of it in terms of the investigation. Another high profile case that came out last year was the Jimmy Savile case, who was a very popular performer in the UK. He passed away in 2011, and did nothing. The claims of his activities, sexual abuse, alleged victims ranging from prepubescent girls and boys to adults, but the accusations didn't come out until after he passed away. And as it happened, the reports seem to indicate that some very well-known and prominent people in the UK, both in government and in broadcasting, were aware of what was going on, but nothing ever happened. The pedophocracy piece by Dave McGowan gets into a number of high-profile cases. Now, again, this was written in the early 2000s, so some of these cases go back 15 years or more, but he opens the pedophocracy with recounting the case of a guy in Belgium by the name of Marc Dutroux, D-U-T-R-O-U-X, which is a fairly common surname in Belgium. To give you an idea of how infamous this guy Dutroux became when the details of what he'd been doing came out, a third of the people with the surname Dutroux in Belgium applied to have their names changed. Dutroux in Belgium became as toxic as Hitler in Germany as far as a surname. He had a child. He was apparently connected to an international ring of child pornography, child prostitution. He was sentenced in 1989 to 13 years for his crimes, but he was let go after 3 years. And after he was released, girls began disappearing around his house again. Even though he was supposedly on welfare, he owned like seven properties, a number of which were being used to basically keep young girls captive, where they were tortured and starved. And a number of them died of starvation while in his custody. The investigation was so badly handled by the Belgian government that on October 20th of 1994, I believe it was, I may have the year incorrect, tried to highlight this so I could make notes on this, and this was all done very quickly today. 1994, I believe, 350,000 people in Belgium took to the streets of Brussels to protest because it became pretty obvious that authorities there were not interested in really prosecuting and obtaining justice. He was arrested finally after a number of protests and changes of prosecutors and so forth. And it appears that some of these prosecutorial changes were to remove men from the case who were a little too interested in pursuing justice. He was arrested in 96. His trial didn't begin until March of 2004, 8 years. He eventually was sentenced to life in prison. He recently applied for an early release, which was denied. But again, when details of what he had been involved in and the number of children that he was convicted of killing went public, the nation of Belgium basically, it was torch and pitchfork time.
Right. Yeah. And if it gets to that point, that would be the result, I suppose. That,
yeah.
You know.
And I think we probably could use a little more of that, a little less of it on the internet, and some actual marching in the streets to demand some justice here.
Right.
It's really easy to do when all you have to do is hit the send key. One of the most famous cases of the last 15 years is the Franklin Credit Union scandal from Omaha, Nebraska, which took place during the 1980s. It's centered around the Franklin Credit Union, which was run by a gentleman named Lawrence King, not to be confused with the talk show host Larry King. Lawrence King had connections at highest levels of the Republican Party. He actually sang the national anthem at the Republican National Committee convention, Republican National Convention. And I forget if it was 84 or 88, but one of those. Essentially, what was going on was beginning in about 1979, he was using boys from one of the most trusted institutions in America for orphaned boys, Boys Town, and pulling boys out of Boys Town to use as rent boys for prominent and influential members of the Republican Party. There's a documentary that was done for the UK by a production company called Yorkshire Television. It was scheduled to be broadcast on Discovery here in the US, and it got squashed before it was broadcast. But if people want to search for this on YouTube, you can find the documentary regarding the Franklin cover-up. There's a book out there by an author named Nick Bryant called The Franklin Cover-Up that I'd recommend. The Franklin Scandal, rather, is the title of that book. The Franklin Cover-Up was written by John DeCamp, who was an investigator, state senator in Nebraska during this period. But again, there were victims here. Paul Bonacci is one. And in fact, he won a judgment in civil court against Lawrence King and had accusations of abuse that, because King didn't challenge it, he was put on the hook for $1 million that Bonacci will never see. A photographer named Rusty Nelson came to light during this time. Nelson is a photographer who claims to have witnessed at Bohemian Grove the filming of snuff films, which are claims that Bonacci made during this investigation regarding the Franklin cover-up. There was an investigator by the name of Gary Caradori, who was hired by John DeCamp and the state Senate in Nebraska to investigate this case. And a Caradori in Chicago, went to Chicago in 1990, took his 8-year-old son with him to conduct this investigation, contacted a member of the Nebraska State Senate before returning and said, "We've got the smoking gun." And several minutes after his plane took off from an airfield in suburban Chicago on July 11th of 1990, it exploded in midair over Aurora, Illinois. And strangely enough, though they recovered the black box from the wreckage of the plane, his briefcase was nowhere to be found. Former CIA Director William Colby was hired to investigate the explosion of Caradori's plane. He concluded there was no specific evidence of sabotage. And 5 years later, April of 1996, Colby was found dead. He went out on a solo canoe trip on the Chesapeake Bay and was found lying face down in a marsh on a sandbar on a tributary of the bay. So there were a lot of strange things regarding the Franklin cover-up that never resulted in any prosecution. Lawrence King was eventually sent to prison for tax evasion. Sort of like, you know, Al Capone. We can't get you for all the other stuff, but we'll get you for tax evasion.
Yeah.
So anyway, there are other cases out there like that. One of the strangest was the Finders, which was a case reported on by the Washington Post in 1987, where two men were arrested in Tallahassee, Florida, with five children in their possession who were dirty, hadn't been bathed in days, didn't seem familiar with common household items like telephones. Told investigators that they were only allowed to eat as a reward for good behavior. When police asked these men what they were doing with these children in this van, they said that they were teachers and they were taking these children to a school for exceptionally gifted children in Mexico. They were apparently connected to a Washington-based cult called the Finders. And when Washington Metro Police raided a warehouse in Northeast D.C. connected to the Finders, they found color slides, photographs, photographic contact sheets showing naked children involved in cult rituals, bloodletting ceremonies, a photograph of a child in chains. They also seem to be they found telex messages between a computer terminal at the warehouse and others from as far away as Moscow, Hong Kong, Malaysia, North Vietnam, North Korea, London, Germany, and the Bahamas, basically placing orders for children. There was also a file that was found at this warehouse labeled Palestinian. U.S. News and World Report ran a story on this. Besides the Washington Post, those were the only major media outlets that even touched on this story. But here again, you had a clear case where there appeared to be victims. There was physical evidence that was collected that indicated not only pedophile activity, but serious physical abuse and satanic cult ritualistic abuse. And yet, when D.C. police began to investigate, they received a stand-down notice from the CIA saying that this is a matter of national security. The CIA connection to the Finders, something else. There are other stories out there that are just as bizarre. The Hosanna Church case in Chapultepec Parish, Louisiana, which was the inspiration for the first season of True Detective on HBO. The cult activity was documented, but it was not brought into the case because police and prosecutors didn't want to go down that rabbit trail and perhaps not get a judgment from a jury, even though they had a confession from the guy who led the church of child abuse. So again, there are a number of other cases out there. We could go on and on and on for the rest of this program for this. My point in bringing all this stuff up is that there are cases out there over the last 15, 20 years, and going back further, I'm sure if we really wanted to look into it, that there is hard evidence and evidence that these investigations were squashed, derailed, or sidetracked in the Dutroux case. There were some allegations that high-ranking members of the Belgian government were involved in what they called pink parties. And that Dutroux and one or two other people may have been thrown to the wolves as
Scapegoats,
right. Yeah. Let's send a goat out there for Azazel and everything will go away. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that things like this happen. And again, there's some circumstantial evidence around some of the players connected to this Pizzagate scandal that speak to a mindset that I find disturbing and troubling.
Sure. Yeah.
But I just hope that as investigators go forward, they'll be a little more cautious about throwing out specific accusations about specific people until there is evidence that can be, you know, linked to. And that means necessarily that if there are forces behind the scenes working to cover things up, some of this evidence may never come to light.
Right. Yeah. And it seems like that the idea of a cover-up, it's just a big cover-up, not just, you know, specifically with some of the things that have gone on. But I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Nancy Schaefer and the suspicions that surround her death. She did publish something called The Corrupt Business of Child Protective Services and really calling them out. And in 2010, she was found killed by a .38 caliber handgun that allegedly her husband shot her and killed himself. They had suicide notes and everything. But people in the community were saying that's just not what, you know, and I suppose that's always kind of the case. A lot of times we never knew, you know, we would never think that that person would do that. But given the circumstance of who she was and what she was doing, it caused her to lose her job, I believe, as the senator. And, you know, it is a nonpartisan issue, in terms of, you know, this kind of activity. It's way beyond right-left paradigm.
Right.
And so the fact that she would lose her position and furthermore to find her, you know, to be murdered, is very suspicious. Again, we might never know, this side of eternity, what really happened. But this kind of thing, again, adds fuel to the fire. The other story that I found interesting, again, just kind of came up and then probably kind of, you know, went away. Back in 2007, 2008, Eric Moeller, he's a number two guy at Wikipedia, was reported for defending pedophilia in one of his public statements, which I think I have it here somewhere. But basically he said that if it's consensual, what he was trying to say was that if the child wants it, then it's okay. Any other reason, if they're neutral or if they're – then no, it's not okay, which is – whatever. That's a terrible, terrible excuse to begin with.
Yeah.
But there was somebody, that was, part of the parent company, Wikimedia, Larry Sanger. He left in 2002, but he actually filed a FBI report based on some of the things he was seeing as part of the website. And, that's really fascinating because, you know, part of what his report was that he saw written in the literature of some of the legal documents that said, if you come across this stuff and you don't say anything, you're part of the, you know, you're basically liable for getting prosecuted.
Right.
So he thought, oh, I better tell the FBI. So he did. He filed the full report, and nothing really came of it. I believe there was more recently there were public statements from Wikimedia saying that Sanger's allegations were, you know, they're not founded on anything. The FBI or any law enforcement has not contacted us. That sort of thing. So again, just kind of went away, you know, nothing to see here, you know,
move along.
And this is in conjunction with Wikipedia, the one of the biggest, you know, websites out there. And this touches on, I think, the culprit here in terms of, and we talk about this all the time, is technology, right? And you mentioned social media. But this is really, I think, the activities of the dark web coming to light here, coming to the surface, because, what some of the, one of the sources of finding the Podesta WikiLeaks emails and tying the language that they were using in some of the emails about 3-month-old pasta and just weird language that would suggest that maybe they're not talking about food, was dug up by somebody who, maybe, I don't know if he was a researcher or somebody that traverses in the dark net. And basically, for those unfamiliar, the dark net is through something like a Tor browser, an Onion browser. You can get in, you're fully encrypted, you can surf online anonymously, and you have access to this dark web. And it's basically a website that's populated. It looks a lot like WikiLeaks. And on the list of things, you can buy drugs, you can solicit various things that are illegal. It's the black market for the internet. You can hire hitmen. If you have the money, you can get child pornography. You can, you know, probably get some children to do whatever you need to do for the pet. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes on here.
Yeah.
And that's language they were using: pizza, cheese, pasta, that kind of stuff. So again, that's why people are so up in arms about this. And this is a part of, I think, the narrative that's not really discussed is that dark web element. How do you lock that down without doing a complete lockdown of the internet?
Right.
And that's almost it's almost impossible to do in some sense because of the ability for, you know, your normal network engineers and stuff like that to build servers and to, you know, create that network on their own and encrypt it so that not just everyone can, you know, visit that. And interestingly enough, this is a discussion that I'm having behind the scenes with some people in the Christian community saying, how are we moving forward? Is this a possibility of creating our own sort of dark net? Not dark, maybe call it light.
Light what? Yeah.
but just a way to protect the information because there's a censorship that seems to be coming. But, you know, those are, you know, different conversations. But the thing that's interesting is that dark web coming to the surface because, you know, there's been a lot of reports on it. There's been some news reports on it and stuff, but I don't think people realize how easy it is to access this stuff,
mm-hmm.
how pervasive it is. And again, this goes to, you know, really knowing what your child is doing on the internet and things of that nature. You just don't know. And all those fears, right, that are rightly part of our culture now. Like, we always joke about how when we were kids, we would just play outside out here in Southern California where I grew up.
Right.
I'd play outside with my friends all night long. The streetlights would come on, and it wasn't until my parents would, you know, tell me there's food or something that I'd run inside. And we really – I mean, we see it in pockets of neighborhoods and stuff, but we really don't see it as much anymore.
No.
And it's something that I think permeates all of the culture here in America, but none of us really want to talk about it because it's so taboo and weird that, you know, when there's a real obvious case with hard physical evidence, that's when things go really public. And I think there are people that get persecuted. Obviously, there are reports. I think there's a Florida story of, ironically, a pizza delivery guy who was trafficking in child pornography, who was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that kind of stuff does happen. There's justice that seems to be served at some level, but the bigger network,
right,
deep underground web of just corruption. This is something that, again, I don't think if we are to ultimately tear this thing down, you know, on our own with our own hands, so to speak, you know, it would pretty much crumble civilization, in my opinion, because all the leaders, the politicians, the bankers, there's a lot of folks involved in that sort of culture. SGT reporter, I keep mentioning because he's done great work, but he had a video called, you know, Things Just Got Darker Than Eyes Wide Shut.
Hmm.
And it's true. Eyes Wide Shut. Hey, at least they were consenting adults in those rooms with those masks.
Yeah.
Talking about something a lot worse here. So,
right.
You know, again, even Hollywood, the level of corruption that people are seeing now is so deep that I think a lot of people are easily turning a blind eye to it because this is just too dark and nasty to talk about. But I go back to Ephesians 5:11, you know, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always cite verse 12 right after, which is, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. And this is absolutely the case here. And but we do have a duty to kind of expose the things that are true, you know, be a guiding light in all this stuff, because there are people that take it really far and start pointing fingers. And, you know, the threats and stuff like that is not what we want. We don't want any false accusations. You know, the hope is that we by you know, promoting the ministry like you did, that we can actually, from the ground level, grassroots level, prevent this kind of stuff from happening. And that's by informing, you know, mm-hmm. your fellow community, your family, and that kind of thing. Those are the things we can do to really make a difference. And I think hopefully that's the message here that gets delivered in the bigger picture, is not so much let's take down Comet Ping Pong or James Elephantis, but more so how can we protect ourselves, our families, because this stuff's real, it's pervasive. And, you know, Lord willing, you know, some of that can come true where kids are protected and we do become salt by preventing the decay and share the light with the truth. So.
Amen. That's a perfect way to close it out. Gan Shimura is the host of the Face Like a Son YouTube channel. Excellent content there, and he posts multiple times a week. And, of course, Canary Cry Radio, Canary Cry News Talk, two of the podcasts I make a point of listening to on a regular basis. Gans, thanks very much for taking time out of your schedule today. And when we talk next, let's make it on a happier, lighter topic.
Sure. Sounds good.
Check the show notes at vftb.net or look below if you're watching this on YouTube, youtube.com/Derek Gilbert, for a link to the Face Like the Sun YouTube channel. Also going to put a link in the show notes to the article that I referred to, actually the long It's almost an online book. And in fact, it is the early part of a book that Dave McGowan later authored under the name Programmed to Kill, but it's called The Pedophocracy. You'll want to read through it because it documents, with a lot of footnotes, mainstream media sources, what we've been talking about in terms of the Finders and the Franklin case and Mark Dutroux and other cases that date back to the late, well, into the 80s and 90s. I didn't even really get into the McMartin preschool case. And that's significant because there's a name that pops up in the McMartin case that also appears in the Franklin case, which is that of Michael Aquino, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, retired U.S. Army and founder of the Temple of Set. Set, of course, was the Egyptian god of chaos, the storm god, god of the desert, god of foreigners. Equated during the time of the Hyksos, this would be 19th through 16th century BC, with the god Baal. But perhaps more significantly, Set was equated with the Greek god of chaos, Typhon, who was the most dangerous, basically the most dangerous creature in Greek mythology, just very nearly took down Zeus. Typhon was the inspiration for a series of magic developed by Kenneth Grant, who took over, basically built on the occult system developed by Aleister Crowley. Crowley, his work was based on well, whatever was downloaded to him while he was inside the pyramid on the at Giza. Grant worked on that and developed it into what he called a system of Typhonian magic, built on Crowley's Ptolema system. Typhonian magic, again, this magic based on the god of chaos, Set. And interestingly, that is also the name of the temple, the name of the religion founded by this occultist, Satanist, if you will, Michael Aquino. It is disturbing, it is dark, and you can tell that I'm not my usual self in talking about this. And in part, it's because I see a lot of outrage on the web regarding what may or may not be going on in Washington, D.C. circles connected to the proprietor of Comet Ping Pong. I think some of this, to be quite honest, came out of the very acrimonious presidential election we just came out of. A lot of people wanted to find a way to connect this to high-ranking members of the Democratic National Committee. Just remember that going back 30 years, the Franklin cover-up did exactly the same thing to high-ranking members of the Republican National Committee. This is a nonpartisan issue, as Gans rightly said. There are wealthy and powerful members of all parties and stripes who are making a regular practice of using children for their own personal pleasure, and then beyond that, the principalities and powers behind them taking advantage of this to twist the spirits and souls of these young people so that they continue to work damage on future generations. And I think one of the reasons I get a little upset about this is that not only because allegations are being tossed about, in my opinion, rather carelessly. They may be true. We just don't have the evidence yet to make the kinds of accusations I've been seeing. But because when we tried to present ministries to people that are actively working to help children who have been abused in this way, those programs don't get anywhere near the attention on YouTube or on our Roku channel as programs dealing with topics that are more sensational. And again, I'm not belittling the discussion of fringe topics because I've been making a practice of doing this for over 11 years. We've got a body of research. I don't even know how many podcasts we have out there now. This is View from the Bunker, episode 355. I've lost count. But that doesn't include the ones I didn't put numbers to from the prophecy conferences and so forth. dozen and a half, two dozen at each of those prophecy conferences. We're probably well over, you know, 400, maybe close to 500 here on A View from the Bunker. Probably an equal number on PID Radio. Plus daily reports now for the last year and a half on Skywatch TV. So if you're unhappy with the message that I'm giving you here because you don't think I'm seeing the big picture, I assure you, I am seeing the big picture. I acknowledge that this goes on. But when we try to present people like Opal Singleton, actively working with law enforcement to get kids out of this situation, to save them from this, and to educate parents on how to protect our children and our grandchildren, because this doesn't just happen somewhere else. This doesn't only happen to other people's kids and grandkids. This is happening in our homes. This is happening to our children and our grandchildren. And it's easy to get on the web and throw up some stuff on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. Opal is out there doing heavy lifting. And when we tried to direct some attention her way, people yawned, ignored it, and clicked on videos that are making wild accusations without sufficient evidence to back them up. MillionKids.org. She can use your support. MillionKids.org. Now, one of the other reasons that we are here in Southwest Missouri now is because of the affiliation Skywatch TV has with Whispering Ponies Ranch. That's one of the things that sealed the deal for us to come here. Whispering Ponies Ranch is entering a partnership with Royal Family Kids. That's an organization that has been working with children who are broken because of bad family situations or other circumstances beyond their control. They're in foster care, and these are the kids who are really struggling. They're often in foster care because of parents who weren't up to the challenge of being parents, or perhaps because their parents saw their children as resources that could be exploited for personal gain, as in renting out my underage daughter in order to get drugs or other favors. The therapy animals, the therapy horses at Whispering Ponies Ranch will be used to make connections with these children. Royal Family Kids works through the summer camp system and trained staff to establish bonds of trust with these children and show them that there is a different model for the family unit than the one that they've had to endure to this point in their lives. And I am proud to be a part of what we're doing at Skywatch TV and what Whispering Ponies Ranch will be doing in 2017. So if what is happening or may be happening with children at, well, around the world, we know that children are being exploited. That's why Opal names her ministry MillionKids.org. That's about how many are being trafficked right now here in the United States. If you're angry about that, do more than just post a tweet with a hashtag. MillionKids.org. Support her work or support what Whispering Ponies Ranch is doing in 2017. And if you watch Skywatch TV, you'll find out very quickly how you can be a part of that. Or log on to skywatchtv.com and support the therapy horses that are there. Because the kids who are afraid to let an adult near them because of their experience with adults in the past, that every adult who's come into their lives has wanted something from them. But these horses that stand 2.5 feet at the shoulder have no agenda other than getting their nose scratched. And when they see that they can establish that trust with the animal and that the animal has trust with the trainer, doors begin to open. So yeah, we want a day of reckoning for those who are involved in trafficking children and abusing children. Absolutely we want a reckoning. But you know what? This kind of thing has been going on since the dawn of time. And we may not live long enough to see everyone engaged in this behavior punished, not in this lifetime. But the scriptures tell us Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will repay. If you're watching this and you accept that the Bible is in fact the Word of God, that God is real, and that He is true to His promises, take that as comfort. Maybe small comfort, but as comfort. Because a day is coming when all of those who have hurt others will face a reckoning by the judge who created the universe and who knows all things. Their actions may be hidden from us, but they're not hidden from Him. Thank you for listening, for watching. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/viewfromthebunker. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.